Lately, I have been preaching through sermon series where we take a book of the Bible, perhaps, or we take a topic, maybe a subject, and we spend several weeks kind of looking at that book or that subject. We just got done with our David series a couple weeks ago. But for the next few weeks, I'll be preaching on some different topics, just kind of some standalone sermons. And eventually, on September 17th, our small groups will get kicked off again, and we'll be kind of honing in on another kind of series, if you will, or a dedicated subject there. So that'll be coming up here in a few weeks. But until then, I just got some things that I feel like the Lord is leading me to teach on. And so today, I want to talk about a subject that honestly doesn't get talked about enough. I ran across an article earlier this week, and the title of it said, 8 out of 10 American workers are living paycheck to paycheck. And it goes on to talk about the effect that that has on our economy and our culture. And I looked at that, and the first question I had was not, what does that do with our economy? What does that do to our culture? I thought about, what does that do to families? What does that do to marriages? What does that do to children? What does that do to churches? And see, there are some topics in life that are private, right? You're not supposed to ask someone who they voted for. We know that you never ask a woman her age or her weight. There's some topics in society. You can talk about the weather, you can talk about sports, but don't talk about politics or religion, right? Because those are off topic. Those can be divisive when you begin to talk about those kind of things. And I think typically for pastors, this subject of giving is one of those topics that they seem to think is off limits, that it's just too uncomfortable to talk about. People's finances are private. Their giving to the Lord is a private thing between them and God. And so really, there's no place for a sermon on it, or there's no need to do it. You might offend somebody. Someone might get mad. It's just not worth it. Just, pray that everything works out and go on to talk about Jesus or, one of the apostles or something in the Old Testament. It's just not worth the headache. Well, I'm breaking the rules this morning. And even in the past, when I've talked about this subject, I've kind of talked generally about it, right? I've talked about not just giving of money, but I've talked about giving of your time, of giving your energy, of giving, other resources, as we've talked about kind of this idea of stewardship or management of what God has given you. But today, I'm going to be real specific in talking strictly about money. And since the Bible has plenty to say about money, then I think it's important. I think it's something that we should look at. I think it's a topic that is important to God, and therefore it should be important to us. So turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 6 through 9 here in just a moment. As I look at this issue of money, I think one reason that money has become a problem for us is that it's kept private, right? We don't share with other people. No one knows what's in our bank account. No one knows where we spend our money or how much we give. It's all very private, and appropriately so. But with that, there really comes no accountability. There is, so as we get started looking at this, let's just commit for just a moment to really explore kind of this sensitive, kind of touchy subject, all right? This is kind of intimate subject of looking at how we spend money. Let's dive right into it and begin talking about money. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 9. Read along with me there. It says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. We're going to come back to that passage here in just a minute, so you don't necessarily have to close your Bible. You can keep your finger there. But I want to share with you a little bit more about what this article that I ran across earlier this week had to say about this issue of families and paychecks and spending money. 23% of everyone polled in this study always live paycheck to paycheck. Just that's how they operate, is not, you know, not having an extra savings. They spend, they don't really know, you know, they don't have money to spend until that paycheck gets there, right? 17%, another 17%, usually do, right? So more often than not, they also are living paycheck to paycheck. And then another 38% say that they sometimes do, that, you know, every once in a while, that they find themselves in that situation where they too live paycheck to paycheck. So you total all that up, it's 78% of people who at least sometimes live paycheck to paycheck. There were some other stats that I found interesting. Of those who were polled who make more than $100,000, right? So that's a six-figure annual salary. For those, 9% of them usually or always live paycheck to paycheck. Of those making between $50,000 and $100,000, 28% do as well. And for those making less than $50,000, 51% of them usually or always live paycheck to paycheck. Now, we look at that and say, okay, Andy, but what does that have to do with giving? Well, what does that have to do with, you know, giving towards the offering of tithing to the church? What does that have to do? Well, it occurred to me that someone who is living paycheck to paycheck, who has no savings, or very little savings maybe, who is probably in debt, is trying to pay that off, who really is waiting to pay bills until that paycheck comes in, someone living like that financially, they probably have difficulty being a cheerful giver. It makes sense, doesn't it? If the money is already spent, and sometimes before it even lands in the account, then there's a problem. It makes it very difficult for people to then, when the offering plate is passed, to think, man, I should put something in the plate. Because if there's nothing to give, then how can we do that? But to be honest, I don't have to really explain that to you, do I? Because those numbers, even though that's kind of a broad national survey of people, that probably accurately describes many of us in this room as well, right? We as believers, as members of First Baptist Church, aren't immune to this idea of living paycheck to paycheck. Some of you are thinking, yep, that's me. It's not possible for me to give anything, Andy. Those numbers I read to you earlier, I think they describe many Christian believers today. You heard Jerry earlier in the prayer time, in the scripture reading time, talk about that his statistics said that only 3% of believers tithe. I think that backs up this idea, this culture that's living paycheck to paycheck. And maybe I'm naive, but I think most of us in this room, if not all of us, would love to give to church, would love to be a cheerful giver. But when we're having to choose which bills get paid this month, then that makes it very difficult, right? When we have to make budget cuts, sometimes giving to the church, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make financial sense that money is being spent on other things. The question I want to look at today is, does it ever make sense to give to church? I mean, does it ever make sense to give towards the offering? Well, let's go back to the text. Paul is writing here to the church in Corinth, and if you read the verses right before this passage that we just read, you see that Paul, being the one who planted many of these churches all throughout the Mediterranean area, so he's got these connections, these relationships with everybody, and so he is asking them to contribute towards an offering to go to people who need it, right? And so he's asked them to have it ready, to go ahead and set it aside, because he is on his way to collect it. So Paul says each one is to give according to what he or she has decided in their heart, right? So let's start right there. I've noticed he doesn't say what you have decided in your mind to give, okay? Now, there's some irony as we look at this, because most financial advisors, even most pastors, or people that just seem to understand this idea of money management, they will tell you, don't use your heart to figure out what you need to spend money on. Right? Use your mind. Make sure that it makes good financial sense, right? Because we know this world we live in, man, it will come after you and attack you wanting that money that is in your wallet, right? You walk through the store, you can see it, right? Advertisements. You watch, you know, things on TV. There's watch movies, right? And that product, you know, that beverage that person is drinking is turned just perfectly where you can see the entire logo on that can, right? It's amazing how the culture that we're after is after the money that is in our pocket. And so we don't need to have these impulse buys where we're just like, oh man, I really want it. I desire it within my heart. I should just go get it. I should just purchase it. I should put it on the credit card if I can't pay for it, right? I'm telling you today, that doesn't make sense. Use your mind, right? Make sure this is logical, good, sound financial sense for you to manage your money on what you spend your money on. Okay, but there's also something interesting about this, because speaking of manipulation and how the, you know, the world and advertising and all that kind of manipulates us and manipulates our emotions, plays on our emotions to make us spend money, I think there's also some other types of manipulation that occur. And it's interesting that Paul talks about believers giving of their money for these ministry purposes, right? Of giving to this offering that has this specific purpose. And though this is referencing kind of the specific offering, I think it just, Paul's principle here applies to any kind of giving towards the ministry of a church, right? Any kind of giving of an offering to the Lord, that's what he's saying here. But what's interesting is this verse throughout the year, Paul's words, they have been used incorrectly by evil and corrupt men, right? Many of them pastors, many of them ministers, and they've used Paul's word to manipulate believers to give them money. All in the name of reaping a bountiful blessing, right? You gotta sow if you want to reap, right? If you want to see prosperity, right? If you want to be blessed by God, then you need to sow some seed money. And then God will make that grow, and he will grow your bank accounts, and he will give you health, and he will fix that relationship you're in. Have you heard this kind of talk before? And you've heard me preach against this on several occasions. It's just not biblical. Yes, God does bless us. I think he wants to bless us, but his sense of blessing and our sense of blessing are often quite different. And we see that all throughout Scripture. There's times when the Lord blesses people with financial success, with health, with all these things in response to their obedience. There's also times when the Lord, and I'm going to say this correctly and biblically, brings suffering to his people when they are obedient. Okay? If you don't believe me, just look at Job. Okay, read that book and get back to me. But these men, it's so common. It's almost like Paul sounds like one of these con men, right? As he's using those words saying, if you sow more, you'll reap more. Give from your heart, right? Don't just give money, but be a cheerful giver, right? Be happy about that money that you're giving. But please, please listen to what he's really saying, okay? Don't look at it through the lens of a con man. This is God's word. Its whole purpose, right, is to benefit us. It's for our benefit, these words that are written in Scripture. It's true. The more we put into something, the more we get out of it. And if you haven't figured that out in life, you know, then you need to learn that lesson, because it doesn't matter what we do, whether we spend our time on it, our energy on it, finances on it, you know, whatever it is. If we want to get the most out of something, we need to give of ourselves the most out of it, right? So that idea of sowing and reaping is very, very true. And Paul's not saying that everyone should give a certain percentage here, right? Instead, he says, give what you have decided in your heart. He's asking them to prayerfully consider what the Lord is telling them to give. What is the Lord telling you in your heart about what you should contribute and what you should give to this offering? Use their emotions of compassion and sympathy and love, but he's not manipulating them, right? As it's implied, don't give if you are feeling forced into it, right? It says don't give out of compulsion. You should never be, just feel like someone is forcing you to give this money. That's not how the Lord wants you to give money to him. It's not how the Lord wants you to bring a sacrifice to him because you feel like you have to do it or someone is making you do it. Giving should be something that brings joy. You should be a cheerful giver. Helping other brothers and sisters should bring happiness. It should bring joy in your life. Giving to the Lord should bring joy to your life, because it's true. It is better to give than to receive. And that's what Paul's saying here. Now the world hears this and they think that this doesn't make any sense, right? How could this be, right? That doesn't make any sense. So back to the question, does giving to the church ever make sense? Let's continue to look at what Paul says here. Let's continue to read. Look at verse 10 there, chapter 9. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Giving to church or giving to the Lord or tithing, whatever you want to call it this morning, it might not make sense if you're giving from your money, okay? This money that you own, that you earned, that you have produced, right? If it's truly yours, then maybe this doesn't make sense. But Paul tells us in verse 10 that the seed that you're sowing, that it's eventually going to produce a harvest, he says that seed that you think is yours was actually supplied by who? God. See, if the seed was yours, and if you were in charge of producing or supplying the seed, then why would you give it away? You'd only be hurting yourself. This is what the world, and perhaps some of us in this room here today, don't understand. That money that is in your bank account, that is in your wallet, your paycheck that is on the way, it isn't yours. I don't have time to show you all the places in Scripture that talk about this, but trust me on this. Trust what Paul is saying here in this passage. Who is it that is distributed freely? God. Who is it that is given? God. Who supplies the seed? God. Who supplies the food? God. It's all His. It's all His. Yes, it makes sense to give to the Lord. You know why? Because He gave it to you to begin with. It's not really yours. You're only managing what is His. He owns it all. And He's allowed you to manage it for a short time while you're here in this short, brief period on earth. And if He's in charge of supplying the seed and providing the food, then like they say in the gambling world, really you're spending house money, right? It's not even coming out of really your pocket. It's all the Lord's. It's not yours. It makes sense to give back to the Lord what He has already given you. Now, if we give money away, how do we know that God will supply us with what we need? Some of you are like, Andy, I get all that kind of in principle. But how do I know that I will have food to eat? How will I know that the electric bill will get paid? How do I know that they won't come and repossess my house or repossess my car because I owe money on it and I need that money to pay off these commitments that I've already made? How will He accomplish that? Paul tells us, when the church in Corinth gives to the offering, they are actually being used by God to not only supply the need for others, but to also inspire others to give thanks to God. Did you catch that? Someone else has a need and is wondering, oh God, how would you ever meet this need? You know I need this. And you know what God is doing as you're praying that? You know what God is doing? God is touching somebody else's heart and preparing them to give, not what's theirs, but what's His, to be given in a way that is going to minister to you, that is going to meet your need. It happens all the time around us. We don't always see it. We don't always know. But it happens. You know how I know that? Because I know this. As I watch TV this weekend, especially the last 24 hours or so, and I see people's houses destroyed, you know what God is doing to my heart right now? God is preparing me as a pastor of First Baptist Church in Breckenridge, who would love to have some of that rain, right? But whose houses are not being flooded out, whose, you know, properties are not being ruined, he's stirring within me that, you know what, maybe our church needs to take a team of people down there to help others who are in need. Is that going to cost money? Yeah, it probably will. Do we have a budget for that in our church? Eh, maybe not. But it's the Lord's money, right? And so if he's leading us to go and to give of our time, of our money, of our resources to help somebody else out in need, that's how we do it. Why? Because that's how it works. There's a need. God forgives somebody, provides for somebody else to meet that need. And then guess what happens? Paul tells us the people who give cheerfully, who worship the Lord, that they have been provided for so that they can give back to him so that they can meet this need, they worship the Lord in response. The people who receive that need, or who the money for that need, where that need is met, the ones that are on the receiving end, guess who they give praise and honor and thanks to? God. Right? With the same money, now two different people are now praising and worshiping God. That's how God works. That's how God magnifies things. That's how God multiplies blessings to people. But we have to be willing. Your need, God knows it. God knows your need. If you think he doesn't, then just pray about it. Right? Just tell him. If you think he doesn't already know, then just tell him. He knows. And he is preparing ways to meet that need. Ways that will give worship and honor to God. And I don't want to get too far off on this, but going to your credit card or going to someone who will loan you money or racking up debt doesn't bring honor to God. Right? It might fix temporarily your financial problem, but that's not how the Lord works. Let me get back on task here so we can finish up today. What a beautiful picture this is. The one who gives, thanking God and cheerfully giving out of what has been given to him, and the receiver of that gift also thanking God for meeting that need. And this is what those who don't give don't understand. They don't see how it all makes sense. How could it benefit them to give money to the Lord as an offering? I mean, I'll be honest, what I don't really get it, but it's true, right? Even when I'm not giving to where I don't know specifically where that money goes and what specific need is given, when I give an offering to the local church, right? When I have made this commitment to tithe to our church, when I give of that money, I receive a blessing from the Lord by just the simple fact of me knowing that I am trusting him with my resources. It doesn't make sense, right? I'm pretty tight with money, right? And if I get a bill that I have to pay too much for, I don't get excited about that, right? But there's some sense of excitement that I get to contribute and be a part of a local church, and I get to give to the Lord and give of what he has blessed me. But you know what? It's not about the physical blessing. It's about the spiritual blessing. And that's what those who don't give don't understand. But still there's some who are like, you know, I'm still not convinced, Andy. I'm still really worried that if I give to the Lord, because it doesn't make sense, if you put my budget on and you put my what I owe and what comes in, and when you put it on paper, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand. I don't see how this is even possible. Malachi 3:10 says this. This is the rare instance where God asks you to test him. Normally, we don't test the Lord. We're not supposed to do that, right? We don't be like, okay, Lord, if you really want me to do this, then, you know, strike that person with lightning right now. You know, I mean, that's not the kind of test that we throw out there, okay? But in Malachi 3:10, he says this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You may have heard this before by some old preacher a long time ago. You can't outgive God. Doesn't make sense. I'm not saying it makes logical sense. I'm not saying if you have a meeting with some financial management guru that they're going to tell you that giving to the church makes sense when you're up to dead in your eyeballs and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet. But I'm telling you, the Bible is clear. We can test the Lord in this. See if he won't provide for your needs when you give to him. And I don't say that as a con man, right? trying to get you to buy into this investment that I'm offering you of First Baptist Church in Breckenridge. I say that to you, giving you understanding that God is not asking you to do something that He hasn't already provided for. Okay? We can trust Him. There's security there. Now, is it going to be easy? Probably not. You know, nothing in life that's really worth pursuing is easy. I'm not guaranteeing you it's going to be easy. Could you end up struggling a little bit? Perhaps. And I'm going to say something that I don't want you to be offended by, because I don't mean it personally towards you at all. But if you're one of the 78% of our country that's living paycheck to paycheck, aren't you already struggling? I mean, isn't it already hard and isn't it already difficult? I mean, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you're in debt that you can't seem to get out of, it sounds like you're not doing a very good job of managing that which God has given you. Maybe you need to begin to heed His instruction. Maybe you need to listen and find out what the Lord says in His words about how to manage your money. Maybe you need to stop managing your money and start letting God manage His money. And I'm not only talking about giving, right? I know this message has been about you giving to the offering, but it also, God's Word says so much about debt. It says so much about what you spend your money on. It says so much about the things you pursue in this world. Because to be honest, if you find yourself in that situation, it's going to probably take more than you just giving a little bit of money towards the offering plate, right? And I'm not saying it's going to take more money from you. I'm saying it's going to take more of you repenting, turning to the Lord, right? And having Him help to manage some of these decisions that you're making about where your money is going, right? There needs to be some changes on the spending of your money to other areas. And that's how the Lord wants you to not struggle with finances. Okay, and I don't say that as some prosperity preacher, right? I'm just saying His Word has given instructions about the things that we should put our money and our trust and our focus on in life. And it's not for you to be stressed out every time a bill collector calls, right? Or every time you see something come in the mail, you think, oh my gosh, it's another bill. I don't even want to open it. How much is it this month? So stressed about when there is a need that arises, thinking, how in the world am I going to pay for this? That is not God's desire for your life. But if we can't give back to Him for what He's given us because it's already spent, then there's a problem. That word spent is what I've titled this sermon today. That word references the exhaustion of something, right? The complete spending or complete using of some sort of resource till it's completely gone. And some of us here know that feeling. That paycheck coming later this month, later this week, it's already spent. There won't be any left to spend on anything else. But turn to this last passage of Scripture I want to show you. And it's also in 2 Corinthians. Flip over a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll bring this time to a close. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. It says, "Here for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less?" Paul tells the church he's coming, but he tells them, when I'm there, I will not be a burden to you. You will not have to financially support me. He says, I don't want your stuff. I don't want the things that belong to you. What does Paul want? Paul wants them. He wants the relationship with them. He wants the person, not the things. Right? Paul got it. Paul had it figured out. It's the same attitude that you and I should have. Not only in our relationship with other people, we shouldn't go seek out, man, I'd like to get to know them better because they have this, or I might be able to get this out of that relationship. That's not how we do relationships, right? We don't have relationships with people because it's for us. We just, because we want to have a relationship with them. It's about the person, right? But also, that should be how how we relate to God. We want a relationship with God because of Him. We want a relationship with His Son Jesus because of Him. Not because what He gives us. Not because what we can get out of it. We don't give to the church. We don't give to the Lord hoping that what we can get back in return. That is not the attitude we should have. I mean, can we honestly say to God, we're not interested in your stuff. We're only interested in you. Is God enough by Himself? What if that's it? What if there was no blessing? What if there was no things that you received other than just a relationship with God? Is that enough? If He doesn't give you wealth and a house and a car and another house to visit and another car to drive for fun, and if He doesn't give you that better paying job, if He doesn't give you that 401k that continues to grow and grow and grow over time so you can retire with lots of money, is God enough? And look what He says there in verse 15. He says, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Paul is willing to give everything for these people. He didn't care if he had the newest cell phone. He didn't need internet or cable TV or a new car. He didn't need new shoes or new clothing. He didn't have to eat out several times a week. He didn't need a vacation. None of that mattered to him. At least none of that mattered to him near as much as the souls of these people that he's talking to. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, ah, there it is. Andy, you're playing on my emotions. You're just another con man. Andy, I know what it is. You're trying to make sure you have a paycheck. You're just worried about you. Please hear me on this morning. As a pastor of this church here at First Baptist Church in Breckenridge, I don't need your offering. This church doesn't need your money. And you're like, well, what do you mean? I mean, how are the bills going to be paid? How are the lights going to be turned on? The Lord, for almost 140 years now, has provided for this church, whether you've given a dime to it or not. Not only does the Lord own all of our resources and our money and all that kind of stuff, not only is that His, this church is His. And if He wants it to exist, if He wants it to continue on, to do the ministry that it needs to do here in Breckenridge, to continue to share the gospel, to meet people's needs, to continue to proclaim the truth of the gospel, guess what? He's going to do it, whether you give to this church or not. There's a truth that I'm trying to explain to you this morning that is hard to understand. You need to give to this church much more than this church needs you to give to this church. How's he going to do it? How's he going to provide? Because He's God. He can provide for this church in any number of ways, just like He can provide for you in any number of ways. He owns it all. It's all His. Paul tells us one of the ways He provides for His kingdom work in this passage, and it's through other believers giving to the Lord by way of an offering. Yet, He does it that way to provide an opportunity for you to give thanks as the one who's the giving, and that for those who receive, also give thanks, so that both parties are brought to worship Him and to celebrate what He's doing. This morning, can you say like Paul that you would gladly spend it all, even to the point of being spent physically, all for the souls of other people? Now, I'm not asking you to give it all this morning. But like Paul, I'm asking that you consider in your heart whether you should give to the offering. And not out of compulsion or guilt or because you think I have tried to tell you that you need to do it this morning. This is something between you and God. And I want you to consider all that God has given you, how He has provided for you, how His Son was literally spent for you. Then, cheerfully give to the Lord because of what He's done for you. This isn't a sermon about how much, whether it's 10%, whether we use the amount we make after taxes or before taxes. All I'm asking is that you consider in your heart whether or not you should begin to give regularly to our church. I'm asking you whether or not you can be a cheerful giver and trust in the Lord this morning. That you might begin to turn your financial life and the way you manage your money and begin to let God manage God's money. If you can and you feel the Lord leading you to begin giving to the Lord, then cheerfully give to the offering this morning. Give thanks to God and let's celebrate together what He's doing in our midst. I'm going to go ahead and ask the ushers to come forward this morning. We've delayed the passing of the plates because I wanted you to hear this sermon first. So if those men would go ahead and begin coming. And as they're coming, let me explain some things to you. Because if you are new to our church, or if you're new to church in general, then you may wonder how things operate in a local church. I mean, who pays the pastor? How does the light bill get paid? Who owns this church? Who paid for this building that we're worshiping in? The simple answer is you do. I mean, God does, but He does it through His people. The money collected during our offering are collected through the mail or through Sunday school or online giving. It goes into an account that pays for church expenses, right? If you're a visitor to our church, we don't expect you to give to our church. Ushers, if you guys will hold on just a minute, let me communicate some things first before we begin to pass those plates. If you're a visitor today, we don't expect you to give to our church. Feel free to do so if you're led by the Lord this morning, but it's not expected, right? However, if you're a member who has made a commitment to be a part of this church family, it's expected that you give financially to support the ministry of our church. Why? I've spent over 30 minutes trying to tell you why you should give to this church. Let me tell you how you can give to our church. One easy way is to place cash in that plate as it passes by, right? If you want to write a check, if you would like a record of your giving to be sent to you at the end of the year for tax purposes, there's no reason why you can't get a benefit from the IRS by also giving to our church. If you'd like to do that, fill out an offering envelope. They're in the pews right in front of you, right? Put that check in there, that cash in there, place that in the offering plate. Some of you are like, man, I don't have my checkbook, I don't have any cash in my wallet, but I'd like to give today. We have a way that you can do that we've set up through your cell phone. Most of us have smartphones. All you got to do is text something to, not the word something, but really anything, any kind of message you want to give to that number, 254-655-6559. You will be sent back a quick link, and it takes about 2 seconds for you to contribute, whether you give them your bank account information or set up a credit card. And then you can simply say, hey, I'd like to give $100 today. You know what you do? You type in 100 and send it to 254-655-6559, and that money is taken out. Maybe it's your debit card, maybe it's your bank account, and we receive that as a church. You're able to give through text giving. You can also go online right now, go onto the internet, go to fbcbreck.org/give. There's a form you can fill out. You can set it up that way. You can even set it up to where it will regularly receive an amount of money from your, like I said, your debit card or your checking account. It'll just go out every month. You won't have to remember to bring your checkbook. You won't have to remember to, if you've got the right stuff, it'll automatically do it. You can set it up to where you don't have to worry about it anymore. Okay? However you want to give, it doesn't matter, right? Usually the hardest thing to do is to try to make that decision to actually give. And then when you make that decision, I think you'll be able to figure out how to go about doing that. So let me pray for us, and we will begin to pass the plates. Father God, thank You for this day. Father, thank You for this message that You have for us. Thank You for Your word, Lord. Father, thank You that You do provide needs, for needs. Father, that You meet the needs of Your people. So God, You, in miraculous ways, You lead us to give to You out of the abundance that You've given to us. Father, how You have provided for us so much throughout the year. And Father, we give back to You, and that You use that, and You multiply it, Father, to do ministry and to do Your kingdom's work. And Father, we thank You for that. God, I pray that You would just bring conviction upon hearts today. Father, if there's people here that realize that man, they don't have a good handle on managing money. They don't have a good handle on what to do. They're living with difficulty in their life, stress in their life because of this issue. Father, draw them to You. That, Father, they might begin to put to work the principles in Your word about how they are to manage their money, and that, Father, they would begin to trust You by giving back to You, even if it doesn't make sense. So Father, speak to us. And let us respond and worship to you this morning as those plates are passed. In your name we pray. Amen.